Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu,
with a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
I loved my Grandma Morgan. And I actually think if my Grandma Morgan had music like this, I don't know what she would have done with the rap, but everything else, she would have gotten to church a lot more often if she had that to experience. But she had a way, and it was especially towards the end of her life, she had a way of seeing everything through as though the glass was half empty, not half full. We would talk to her in the afternoon and the evening, and you'd call and you'd say, "Grandma, did you go on that walk this morning?" And she'd say, "No, it was too cold." "Well, did you enjoy staying inside from the cold?" "No, it was too hot." It was always too something for Grandma. It was always too something for her to get to church. That was for sure. It was too rainy or it was too cloudy. Her foot was hurting too much. My favorite excuse was that she stayed up too late watching Golden Girls. She just couldn't get up in the morning. There were moments, especially towards the end of her life, where it was a feeling of, cursed is this life, and I am dreading just being alive. Life can be pretty unlivable when we allow ourselves to see the world through this lens of scarcity. We can throw a wet blanket on joy when we see everything through fear and anxiety. And it can be hard to make the kind of change that we need in our lives to move from that place of scarcity into one of abundance. Music, like we experienced this morning, can help make that shift inside of me. Sometimes exercise helps make that shift inside of me, like working myself to that place of exhaustion. I was reminded this week that laughter can move me there. And I know I don't spend enough time with comedians and with folks that just see in life comedy. And so there was one that we found this morning whose name is Michael Jr. And I've lived in some of his performances this week. And we have just a very short clip of him sharing a little bit. And I want to invite us to just watch this together.
People ask me all the time, "Michael, what was your big break?"
Our next guest has performed on Comedy Central's Premium Blend.
He made his first appearance on The Tonight Show from Montreal Comedy Festival.
You've seen him on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
That wasn't a big break. The big break was at a club. And right before I got on stage, I had a change in mindset about comedy. Normally, when a comedian gets on stage, he wants to get laughs from people. And I felt a little shift take place where I felt like I was to go up there and give them an opportunity to laugh. Now I'm not looking to take. I'm looking for an opportunity to give. This changed everything.
My name is Michael Jr. I'm going to do some jokes.
And ultrasounds come in color now, which is ridiculous. I know it's a black baby. It better be a black baby.
I leave the club that night, and there's all these people giving me hugs and high fives, telling me their favorite jokes. Then I look across the street, and I saw a homeless guy. And I thought to myself, what about him? Most comedy, most jokes are set up.
My son, 4 years old, looks at me out of nowhere, and he says, "Dad, I want to be a doctor." I was like, yes, yes.
And then a punchline.
Then he said, "Or a dinosaur."
I understand that me doing comedy and doing all of these TV shows and making all these people laugh is really just a setup. My punchline is to make laughter commonplace in uncommon places. We go to Montrose, Colorado, a place called the Dolphin House. They take care of children who have been abused by their parents. And his grandmother explains to me that her grandson is being abused by his mom. He's so afraid of his mom that everywhere he goes, he wears a Spider-Man costume. So I get on stage, sitting right up front, Spider-Man. I start doing comedy. People start laughing, slowly but surely. Probably about 25 minutes into it, I hear a voice. And the voice says, "My name is Ronan." And this little boy pulls off his mask. And it was one of the most powerful moments in my entire comedy career. Here's the deal. If we could just stop asking the question, what could I get for myself? And start asking the question, what can I give from myself? I think people would learn that you don't have to be a comedian to deliver a punchline. It's really what I want to get across to people. And I think I just did. I looked at the camera again. I don't know if I was supposed to do that.
Emphasis. Anything else you can think of?
Yeah, I'm going to say it right now. You've been set up. You in the setup. Be the punchline. Okay, I'm going to walk off dramatically.
Now I'm not looking to take. I'm looking for an opportunity to give. And that changed everything. If we could stop asking what we're here to get for ourselves and start asking what we might ourselves give, we'd learn that we don't have to be comedians to deliver that punchline. And so this morning, we begin a three-week series of learning how to deliver that punchline. We're practicing generosity together during these 3 weeks. We're trying to see how our faith might shape us as people who are both generous and giving, that are rooted in gratitude. And this morning, we're going to focus on Psalm 104. And then next week, we're going to look together at something called Rambam's Ladder. And we're going to reflect on where are we in our own practice of generosity? Like, what does it look like in our lives? And how is it expressed? And then the final week, we're going to reflect on how our own practice of generosity aligns with our values, or sometimes doesn't align with our values. And what changes might we make to move in that direction? Michael Jr. says that everything changed for him when he went from looking to take towards seeing opportunities to give. He went from fear and anxiety and scarcity to generosity and abundance and joy. And that shift changed everything. He is part of a long line of people who've looked around the world and they've seen the poor and the powerless, and they've chosen not to bury their heads, but instead to make a difference, to live so that God can use them. We've been singing about this all morning, all sons and daughters, all who feel unworthy, and all who hurt with nothing left, they will know that you, God, are holy, and they'll sing out. With a long line of African-American followers of Jesus, we sang that we want to live so that God can use us anywhere, anytime. The people of God have been celebrating abundance throughout the generations. And Joe's going to help us this morning. He is going to teach us a refrain from a song. It's a singer-songwriter over in Berkeley whose name is Brett Denon. The song is called Blessed. And so we're going to learn this together. And then after we learn it, we're also going to weave this together with an ancient psalm that comes to us from the people of God who were trying to follow Jesus so many generations ago. So Joe's going to start with us teaching us this refrain from Blessed.
Oh, great. We have the lyrics. I hope you guys are ready to sing. Yeah.
Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate being alive.
Something like that. Let's try singing all together. Here we go. 2, 3, 4.
Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate being alive.
One more time.
Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate being alive.
Psalm 104 begins like this. This was their song long, long ago. It's our song this day. Oh, my soul, bless God, God, my God, how great are you, beautifully and gloriously robed, dressed up in sunshine, and all heaven stretched out for your tent. You built your palace on the ocean's deep. You made a chariot out of clouds and took off on wind wings. You commandeered winds as messengers, appointed fire and flame as ambassadors. You set earth on a firm foundation so that nothing can shake it ever. You blanketed earth with ocean, covered the mountains with deep waters. Then you roared and the water ran away. Your thunder crash put it to flight. Mountains pushed up, valleys spread out in the places you assigned them. You set boundaries between earth and sea. Never again will earth be flooded. You started the springs and rivers, sent them flowing among the hills. All the wild animals now drink their fill, with wild donkeys quench their thirst. Along the riverbanks, the birds build nests. Ravens make their voices heard. You water the mountains from your heavenly cisterns. Earth is supplied with plenty of water. You make grass grow for the livestock, hay for the animals that plow the ground.
Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate being alive. Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate being alive.
This next piece I'm gonna need your help with. So you're gonna be all, and then I'm gonna keep going, and we're gonna shape together the words of Psalm 104 in this very room. So let us read together. Oh yes, God brings forth grain from the land, wine to make people happy. Their faces glowing with health, a people well-fed and hearty. God's trees are well-watered, the Lebanon cedars he planted. Birds build their nests in those trees. Look, the stork at home in the treetop. Mountain goats climb about the cliffs. Badgers burrow among the rocks. The moon keeps track of the seasons. The sun is in charge of each day. When it's dark and night takes over, all the forest creatures come out. The young lions roar for their prey, clamoring to God for their supper. When the sun comes up, they vanish, lazily stretched out in their dens. Meanwhile, men and women go out to work, busy at their jobs until evening.
Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate being alive. Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate being alive.
What a wildly wonderful world, God. You made it all. With wisdom at your side, made each overflow with your wonderful creations. Oh, look, the deep, wide sea, brimming with fish past counting, sardines and sharks and salmon, ships plow those waters, and Leviathan, your pet dragon, romps in them. All the creatures look expectantly to you to give them their meals on time. You come and they gather around, you open your hand and they eat from it. If you turned your back, they die in a minute. Take back your spirit and they die. Revert to original mud. Send out your spirit and they spring to life, the whole countryside in bloom and blossom.
Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate.
Let us read together these final verses of Psalm 104. The glory of God, let it last forever. Let God enjoy all of creation. God takes one look at earth and triggers an earthquake, points a finger at the mountains and volcanoes erupt. Oh, let me sing to God all my life long. sing hymns to my God as long as I live. Oh, let my song please God. I'm so pleased to be singing to God. Repent and turn toward God. No more frantic and greedy ways. Oh, my soul, bless God.
Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate being alive. Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate being alive.
Biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann, he defines what he believes is the greatest conflict in our world today. And it's the conflict between the narrative of abundance and the narrative of scarcity. The myth of scarcity tends to define us and confine us. It holds us down and it pins us in. And God breaks through that with a narrative of abundance to help us to see what is really before us. I love it in Psalm 104. You maybe noticed my favorite line is about the Leviathan. This is like the sea monster. This is the one that in other places in Scripture, the people of God are called to try to tame this. It's chaos. It's dangerous. But not from Psalm 104's perspective. Here, it's that same animal that sports, that's diving in the water. God is celebrating that which we have been taught before us to see as scary, as dangerous, as other. Here, though, the psalmist reminds us that we're called to see love and joy, abundance in all of God's creation. And you hear it all the way across from the dew that's gathering as the sun is coming up to the mountains as the sun is setting. Every part of earth is shared and reflected upon in this very psalm. We read it as a church together, oftentimes at Pentecost, when the church celebrates the Holy Spirit coming in and breaking down all of our boundaries, opening us up to actually be the church, to say that all means all, and then to share that love of God with others. And we chose to share it today because it feels like that's a moment that we're living in. See, if you're like me, you don't always look and see abundance. You see a Leviathan and you think, that's a Leviathan. I don't want it sporting around in the water. It's kind of scary to me the way I see it here. And so we dwell in scarcity. And I don't know where or what that looks like in your own life, but it's been pretty clear one of the places that it's coming up for me this last week. One of the children who went out to go to Godly Play is our 5-year-old daughter. And so the parents among us might resonate with a little bit of this story. Next fall, Eleanor is going to go for the very first time to kindergarten. And we live in a community in which we as a family have a lot of choices about where she could go. There are a lot of places where kids don't even have any choices about where they're going to go to school. And so for the last couple of weeks, we've been taking off in the morning to go and tour some of these schools, which is very cool. And every time I get to a school, I think, this one's pretty good. It's pretty great, actually. And then I go to the next one. I think there's options here, too. And then, though, I start to worry. Well, there's too many other parents here at this tour. They're going to want their children to go here, too. And when they do, then they're all going to go into a lottery and there's going to be too many numbers in that lottery. And Eleanor's not going to really get to go to this school. And if she doesn't get to go to school X, well, then what's it going to be like when she tries to get into the junior high that we want her to get into? And then if she doesn't get into that junior high school, is she going to even get to go to high school if she can't do that? And then how in the world is she possibly going to go to college? Is she going to be able to be a dinosaur? That's what she wants to be. And so at the very beginning, I start to like go into this fear. We have options, an abundance of really phenomenal options. Yet all I look out and see is, oh no, this isn't going to work. She's never going to be the dinosaur she wants to be. And so what I wonder is, where does scarcity show up in your life? Walk in the room and take up more space than you really want it to. What does that look like in your own life? Wendell Berry is a poet and a farmer and an activist. He shared in an interview with Rose Marie Berger this question. Do you want an economy of grace based on generosity or an economy of scarcity based on acquisition? In the New Testament, Jesus knows all about God's choice in this matter. God's choice of generosity and fidelity. In his very person, Jesus takes on and becomes generosity, fills the world and turns, walks right into places of suffering where people are hurting, where people need healing and acceptance and power and understanding. And Jesus walks right in as the embodiment of abundance and says, let's see this differently. Everybody around, let's see this differently. And it's not some naive version of Happy by Pharrell. It's like walking right into the suffering and sitting down amidst it, seeing the brokenness for what it is, and then finding in the midst of that a gift of abundance. Grace, we call that. Generosity. We're practicing it right this very moment. Some of you didn't know this. But right this moment, you are practicing generosity. See, a while back when we started to reach capacity in this space, everybody in the room could have said, you know what, there's too many people that are here to root their lives in grace. So we need to just like close the doors up. I found a space. I'm feeling better. My life's been changed. At least it was changed once. That's good enough. I'll take it. Close the doors. We could have worried that when we go to two services, is it going to really be the same? Actually, you're celebrating right now because there's a lot more room around you, aren't you? I know you are. Some folks are, for sure. There's a way that abundance comes to us when we least expect it, and it changes everything. It calls us to make a difference, to look back and to see the way that Jesus' very life made a difference then and makes all the difference now. As we root our lives in that kind of abundance, as we shape our own theologies or ways of talking about God through a lens of abundance, that it changes everything. So as we prepare to come here to this table, I want to invite us to just notice those places in our lives where we're looking to take and see how we might find within those opportunities to give. May that kind of grace change everything. As we stop asking what we can get for ourselves and start asking what we might give from ourselves, I believe that it's in that process, like Michael Jr., like the Leviathan out in the water, that we learn that we don't have to be comedians to deliver that punchline. May God's grace and abundance call us to that way of life, now and always. Amen.
I want my life to make a difference. I want my life to make a change. I want my life to do some good here. I want my life to make a change. I want my life to make a difference. I want my life to make a change. Make a change. I want my life to do some good here. I want my life to make a change. I want my life to make a difference. I want my